Hi everyone, welcome to this week's podcast episode. This week I am joined by one of my good friends, Carrie, and she is so amazing. We were chatting before the episode began and I was thinking this is just too good. There was too much conversation happening that I just had to press record. So the beginning of the conversation is a little bit like diving right in. But then we dive into the introductions and let her tell you about her magic that she brings. So please just enjoy this amazing spiritual conversation that I have with Carrie. She is just another level of interesting and so much knowledge. And I hope you love it as much as I love her because it is incredible. So enjoy this episode and I will let it start. Hi everyone, you are listening to the Manifesting Straight Talk podcast and I'm your host Rachel Chamley. I'm a mindset and manifesting coach from the UK and I am here to ignite that fire inside of you. If you are a female entrepreneur or change maker or just a woman that is wanting more from life, then you are in exactly the right place. I am going to give you my no-nonsense, straight-talking advice to manifesting and show you how to take your life to that next level. So if you're ready, dive in now.
I learned this new protocol for me that's kind of like a replacement for hypnosis. And I really, really love it. And it's allowed me to work on some of those emotional like hangups and beliefs. These are not even beliefs. It's kind of like mismatches in the system. It's kind of like, I'm going to do this, but this, and they don't mesh. And it's been really amazing to see like what's operating under the surface and let it, you know, work its way through. And one of the really interesting pieces for me that kept popping up was there was confusion. Like every time I'd go to do something, there was confusion. Yeah. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, wait a minute. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was really clear. Like, why is there confusion now? And this kept coming up over and over and over. And finally I was like, I think that confusion's fake. Let me do a process on the confusion. And sure enough, the confusion was an obfuscation, like he's waving my hands, like, you know, don't go there. Don't look at that. Like trying to keep everything in the future. And I could look back and see that that was a pattern of mine consistently, like whatever I wanted, I was trying to keep it in the future because there it was protected and safe and beautiful. And I could have it just the way I wanted and, you know, trying to pull it through to, you know, now, was fraught with all sorts of, you know, potential failure, potential humiliation, you know, all the things that could go wrong, bringing something into the physical. So it was really interesting to see that. And I ran a process on it and it was like, boom, now all the ideas are coming. Now all the clarity is coming, all the stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is so crazy.
So how does that protocol work? What's the system for that?
So it's called Rapid Rewire. And the premise of it is that, you know, using all these different techniques that are out there, they will all work. Like you can go to talk therapy, you could do EMDR, you know, using the eyes, but all of them are using like pieces of the puzzle. And the premise is basically that you have to access the thoughts, you have to access the emotions, you have to access the images, and you have to access the body sensations to fully process something.
Yeah.
And in my, you know, observation and working with it so far, it seems to be that your emotions are always trying to lead you to the outcome you want. They're always trying to take you there, especially if you, you know, have an understanding of the emotional scale, which, you know, sometimes we hear about from Abraham Hicks. Sometimes, you know, if people know David Hawkins' work, there's an emotional scale and you're trying to move yourself from one place to another.
Yeah.
We have places where we will like boomerang out, like we'll hit something that feels uncomfortable and we'll go the other way. And so what we're often doing, and you know, we don't realize, is we're self-sabotaging by moving backwards in the scale because we've hit something that we can't really move through easily. And so in this process, you are using like a very often an alternating, like thoughts and emotions. And then sometimes you're bringing in the images and you're bringing in the body sensations, and you're basically moving yourself down the path from one place to another. You're totally conscious the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, like other stuff can be going on. It's completely client directed. So there's never almost any influence at all on the side of the person, you know, basically holding the space and running the process. It's fascinating to me how quickly people can release something and then they know the path to release it. Like they, yeah. You can sort of bind these feelings together. You can amplify things. You can let go of things that you didn't know you were holding because you'll see them. You are articulating them out loud. And it's been so eye-opening to see how many things were just kind of lurking there under the surface that I didn't know was a motivation of mine personally. And then watching other people do it too, it's really fascinating to see like the sort of map of their subconscious. Where are they going? What are they doing? You know, that's always been fascinating to me, but like to see it, you know, to see them see it too, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And so like the biggest success I had with it was when we went to our training, there was the first thing they had us do, which was the hardest thing for me. And I think, you know, being an empath, a lot of people will understand this. The first thing we had to learn to do was to stand very close to someone else, look them right in the eye and ask them a question, like, what is your intention for this program? And they had to answer us looking us right in the eye, and we could not react. We couldn't respond in any way. Yeah. We had to just listen and then say, thank you. And that was the most uncomfortable thing I think I have ever done, like ever. I was about to lose my mind because you catch yourself, like, especially as women, there are so many things we do where we're like, oh, let me give you feedback all the time on whatever you're saying, because we feel like we have to sort of, you know, help them along with this ascent and this, you know, like boosting. And then, you know, we want to immediately like come back and give some sort of feedback or, you know, ask questions or something. And so to not do that, to not inject yourself into the situation, so difficult. And so they did a process, because I told them, I was like, I have never done anything that is this hard. And they were like, why don't you run your process on that today? And I was like, all right, let's try it. And so I did. And what I realized was that the anxiety that I had, that I've had since I was a child, was this like conflict between wanting to talk to people, really wanting to get to know them and liking people, and also like being so overwhelmed by them that I wanted to run away. So it's like this pull, but the anxiety served to keep me right there, like right there being anxious, but not able to really do either one really well. And, you know, and as I kept moving through it, I was like, oh, I see that part of my problem is there's a layer of manipulation here. Like, I feel like I need to correct and, you know, like give somebody a first impression, like really like get in there and make them feel something, make them think something. And I was like, why am I doing that? Like, that's really, no wonder I'm exhausted, because I'm trying to run away. And also I'm trying to, you know, like totally control their impression of me. And then I'm also trying to figure out who they are. And probably I was like, oh my God.
That is just so much happening.
And once I realized that and I could see it, and I think that's so critical for whatever it is we, you know, we want to release anything, we have to be able to see it. And when I could see it so clearly, I was like, oh, well, why am I doing that? Like, do I feel like I have to make the entire, you know, impression on someone in 5 minutes? Like, that's kind of ridiculous. Like, they've got plenty of time to get to know me, whoever they are. And also, like, I get to decide if I want to know them. And why are we in a rush? Like, it was so funny. And then like, once I was done and I had like a different perspective on it, I was able to sit down with people all day and I was able to listen to their problems and be completely present and look them in the eyes. I've never been able to just sit and look people in the eyes.
Yeah.
And I did it all day and I wasn't tired at the end of the day. I didn't feel like I needed to buffer people out. I didn't feel like I needed to recover. I went back to my Airbnb and talked to my hosts for an hour and a half. I never felt at all like my energy had been compromised.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, was polluted in any way. None of it. Mm-hmm. It was so interesting to see.
You've struggled with that, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's huge for me.
Yeah. So for all the listeners, I started recording because me and Carrie have been chatting away and it was too good not to capture. So today I am joined by my gorgeous friend, Carrie, and I'll let her introduce herself. But we were just talking about one of the new processes you're bringing into your business there. So I'll let you share more on that topic, but do you want to introduce yourself and then we'll dive into some more goodness?
Yeah, thank you. So I am Carrie Hamm. I am a business strategist and intuitive coach. I absolutely love, like, my favorite thing is talking about spirituality and, you know, doing deep dives on understanding the energetics behind spirituality. That's my jam.
Yeah.
And
you are, we started already. Level of spiritual healer though. Like, I just love talking to you every time because it gets so deep and interesting and a different viewpoint. So, you know, we're going to be bringing all that magic out today because we've already been talking about so much energy that's happened at the minute.
I know, it's been really fun. So it's so good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I know we've talked about this for a long time. I'm like, hey, we should actually do that.
Yeah. We were in a program, a mastermind together, weren't we? And we were even mentioning doing the podcast then, which was probably 2 years ago now, was it?
I think this last month, it was 2 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. And it's probably that confusion element that you're thinking, you know, what do I go on and talk about?
Yeah. You know, and that was a theme for me that I worked on was this, you know, every time I wanted to do a new thing, a big thing, this confusion would come in, like, what is it about?
Yeah. I mean, we were probably opposites in that, weren't we? Like, anybody who knows me, I totally dive into something and, you know, people call it extrovert or whatever, but Harry was the opposite completely, who would plan everything. But you have such a skill for that as well. Like, I know you're saying it stalls you, but there is your level of planning and detail is a superpower as well. So do not forget that.
It's funny that you describe it that way, because I feel like, to me, it feels like building. It feels like I'm building something energetically. Mm-hmm. And in terms of vision, and when it has holes or when it doesn't feel like it has a path from here to there, then I struggle with it.
Yeah.
It's funny because as far as, like, actually, you know, being detailed and planning, I've always been pretty loose, about things. It's the wanting the information to be complete, wanting to really understand. I'm one of those people that feels like I have to know everything. And so whenever I go into anything, it's like, give me all the information. Like, you know, and it's funny because I spent my career, like my long corporate career of over 20 years working with databases. So I was a database software developer and ran large database projects. And so still very much that way. Like, give me all the data. I want to know everything. Cause there's really a sense of that, of like almost like a three-dimensional sense of what is this? And I think a lot of people have a more linear process. It's like, let me do this, and then let me do that, and then let me do this next thing, and then this next thing. And that works for them. Mm. And for me, that usually means I'm going to go in circles and run all around. So it's good for me to have a very strong sense of what is this going to look like? What's it going to feel like? Kind of like an architect, like architecting something completely. Yeah. And then saying, yeah, that feels good. And then starting to do it.
See, what I'm finding lately is that I'm getting directed down a path, but for a complete redirect, if that makes sense. So I launched my Awaken the Abundance course. And through that launch, I started to look into the energetics of even deeper, so more into the quantum field and all of that. And that sparked the whole business boot camp idea. And then that started to take me on a path, really kind of talking about business more with people. And I launched that again, and I wasn't in the same energy space. And even though the first round was so good, the second didn't take off at all. I was not fazed. I just thought, this is for something different. And the shift it's took me on has been more, yes, I'm here for entrepreneurs. Yes, I'm here for females who want to create big impact. But I'm not interested in teaching any levels of business. Yes, I can help you create a better business by becoming more authentically you and better aligned to your true self. So it's took me on this weird turn in a sense, but just trusting each step as I went and trusting that it's all for something coming out the other end. Yeah, it's just been a crazy journey over this year, really.
It is. And, you know, what's so interesting about what you're saying, you know, from my perspective, and to give a little background, like for the past year and a half, my focus has really been on helping people launch with the energetics of launching and understanding that, and using like this, but in a very nitty gritty business way, like all the way deep, all of my hands in their business.
Yeah.
And people seem to have this belief that if they figure out the process, they can repeat the process and they will continue to make money.
Yeah.
And if you were a product, that might work for you a little better for a while, like you had a product.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with personal brands where there's a lot of your energy in something, the state that you're in, the energy that animates you, if it is not flowing completely, everything that worked before will stop working. It'll fall like a house of cards.
Yeah.
And that's, it's so fascinating the way that works, because we are dynamic beings. We're constantly moving and growing, and, you know, like, and our energy fills a different space. Well, if your energy is filling a different space, that means it's collapsed over here and people will feel it. There's no way to just, you know, execute the exact same thing, because if it's not animated fully with your energy, it won't go. You know, it's kind of like, to me, I've always described it as like a helium balloon. It's like you gotta fill it up, And if you, you know, they'll flop if you leave it for a day or two, right? They're gonna end up on the floor.
And I genuinely do think that we really kind of worry about these things that don't work, and you try and put everything in to stop that happening. But actually, that needs to happen to create the next phase. So if I'd have, you know, sold out the program, I would then have carried on with that program, with that way of going down that path. And I wasn't meant to be doing that. And actually, I've been drawn more back to, dare I say, energy healing, which was a big, like, I really struggled calling myself an energy healer for a long time. But it's actually opened up the energy that I was maybe denying. So going down that path and bringing that energy into the business world, you know, I was teaching people to do, it's literally shifted me to actually, well, yeah, there's more to it. It's crazy, but you can't join the dots until you've lived the dots.
If that makes sense. Yes, that's absolutely true. And part of what you said there was, I think, so important, is we have to have the failures to show us where the boundaries are. You find the edges through things that don't work. And I have a client that I use as an example for this, because success doesn't tell you exactly what worked. It just tells you that whatever you did worked, but you don't know what components worked until you find the edges. You know, so she was very successful right out of the gate. You know, she, no matter what she launched, everybody wanted it. And she had to find the failures to figure out what it was exactly that they were responding to. And it can be its own curse sometimes. I mean, she launched a beta group not long ago and had 200 people join. Well, how do you run a beta with 200 people? It's like, you don't get this close sense of feedback. It is so important to have those experiences so that we know what it is and what it isn't.
How are things working in your business now that you've taken on this? Obviously, you deep dive into the launches, but what's been mm-hmm. happening around you integrating this new process that you were talking about?
So I use it with clients, and actually, so I'm still training right now. So I'm looking for new people to use it on, which is fun. But yeah, I mean, I can even use it on my kids. So it's like not a super hard process to run.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about my work, and I think why it's unique, is even though we're working on like the nitty gritty bits of business, like actually, like what actually are you going to put in your messaging? Which emails are going to go out? Mm-hmm. Like, how is this funnel going to be constructed? Or are you even going to have a funnel? All of this is part of it. But the most essential piece is understanding that people with big energy and people with a big purpose, and you know, these people who've come in and they're full of understanding that they have something big to do, there is an inherent instability in that energy. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason that I only work with people for 3 months at a time, because you can't just sustain it. It's something that you use, you know, to do a big thing, and then you have to rest and you have to regroup and you have to, you know, like look at your learnings and debrief. And then you have to let the energy well up again, and then you can do it again. But it's not, you know, something that just sort of you'll perpetually just be moving up into the right, like a business. You're not a corporation.
Which right? is what people think, isn't it? They think that they want that next. It's got to be constantly going round, but you need them pauses.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we reflect and we integrate, and that's how we understand really what's needed next. And that's a beautiful place to be in for people with these, you know, very lean, agile businesses that are small, you know, whether it's like, I would say 1 to 10 employees, yourself, you know, up to 10 people, you can move really fast and you can adapt. In the digital marketing world, especially, that's critical, because I mean, I worked in technology and there was a joke that was like, you shouldn't even go to school for technology, because by the time you get out, everything that you learned will be obsolete. Digital marketing moves that much, like twice as fast. It's just because you're looking at people's attitudes constantly changing, like they're flexing around what's happening in the world. And so you have to be so adaptable. And so we have these people who have this massive energy and a big purpose, and they are experiencing a lot of internal drama, right? Especially when they're trying to do something big, because it's inherently stretching. It's going to stretch them every time, because otherwise it wouldn't be a big thing. And so that stretching is incredibly uncomfortable. And so you have a lot of like snapback where it's like, oh, retracting back into a small, safe space. And having people start to, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, I don't know if we recorded or not, like mapping the subconscious. Like for me, working with a client, it's a lot of mapping their subconscious. Like, what are their patterns? What am I observing? What loops are they going in? What do I know they're going to go back to when they struggle? And then being able to reflect that back to them. And I think this is a really critical piece to understand. You know, our egos are constructed to keep us from doing things that feel dangerous. And so all of this work is around not ego destruction, because that's, you know, not the business we're in. We're talking about being able to expand it and make it a little more flexible. And so we get a hold of something and we kind of lift it up. Like, can you see under here? Right.
Gently,
like,
nudge it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like hold it here. And, you know, and what's uncomfortable about this? And then we work through it. And it is this incredibly rewarding, deep work around being able to expand.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately that's what it is being able to expand and being able to harness the inherent magic of being a conscious being. Like, it's like, you know, it is absolutely magical. And so being able to, you know, wield that and direct that is a gift. And, you know, when people who are successful, people who have big energy, like they're already doing it. It's just a lot of times they're not doing it consciously. And so my role, I feel like, is to help them understand how to do it more consciously.
Yeah. I love that. Tell everyone about your journey and how you've got into this, because you worked in corporate for a long, long time. You had a very successful career. Yeah. So
interestingly, it took me a while to figure this out. Almost my entire career, I was working in what we call business back office, which means that I was building or implementing software from the time I was maybe 21 or 22, all the way, you know, probably for about almost 25 years. So building software. Yeah, I know. Thank you. But building software for the back ends of businesses. And so it, you know, a lot of times that's the stuff that moves faster and it's messy. It's not like building the products that, you know, like you're going to use on your desktop. It's all this stuff that runs a business. And so in that process, I had to learn about virtually everything behind the scenes of a business. And I work for all kinds of businesses. You know, I started out working for a personnel company, and then I went to working for all kinds of companies, theaters, a methadone clinic, like all I learned how to make software that ran pumps. I did whatever was needed at the time. And then I moved into the corporate world kind of off and on because I was consulting. But when I moved into Microsoft, like that was really where it felt like the stakes were a lot higher. Yeah. I was working with a different caliber of people, and I worked at Microsoft, you know, on and off in different roles for over 8 years, over about a 12-year period. And that was, I think, you know, it puts you through your paces a little bit more, and you can really see, like, it wasn't so much just about software at that point, because software is software and you're, you know, learning how to do things. You're dealing with bigger sets of, you know, stuff that's much more valuable. But that really exposed me to a lot more people who were very powerful, who were leaders, and I needed to interact with those people because I had reports that went to the C-level executives, and I had to learn how to manage their expectations, and this was what was so fascinating, was I knew all along during my career that I was using a lot of my intuitive gifts to figure things out, to know what was happening, to kind of like give people a heads up of what was going on and to ferret things out. But I really had to draw on at that point because it felt so important. This is also important. And that, you know, was an illusion in and of itself. But I think, you know, you and I have had this conversation before too, about understanding, like, what is your level? Like, who are you really supposed to be working with, and where do your gifts sort of open up?
Yeah.
And when I came into entrepreneurship, that was something that I really had to understand, was like, hey, you've worked with CEOs almost your entire career. And that's just been something that is a pattern that's always come up for you. So understanding that, you know, you're usually working with people who are very successful and very powerful. When I would go back and try to teach people who were brand new beginners, it was such a struggle. Yeah. It was such a struggle because there was too much they had to learn. It was almost like having the pipes clogged because I couldn't get enough energy moving through. And so it was really interesting that, you know, like my business became more successful when I had that realization, was like, oh no, I need to work with people who are farther along. I worked in the corporate world for a while. And when I left, I was like, okay, I'm never doing this again. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I, you know, feel like I'm doing the wrong thing. During that entire journey, so from the time I was about 22 or 23, I had also been a very serious student of Buddhism. So I was a Tibetan Buddhist meditator. I had received a number of empowerments. I had a number of practice commitments. Like I had, you know, done a lot of deep work in that area. Mm-hmm. And so having been a very long-term meditator, like I had these two tracks running at the same time, this career track and this spiritual track. And when I came out of the corporate world and moved into entrepreneurship, I got asked for coaching a lot. I mean, just all the time. And it wasn't something that I had even thought about. But when I actually started coaching, all of this intuitive stuff started coming through. Because when you're not a, you know, a huge business and, you know, and you're not dealing with tiny cogs in a giant machine, like suddenly there is so much space for seeing what comes next. Like the future is very wide open, and suddenly you can just see what can happen, you know, and I was seeing this, and here I was like trying to have this very basic membership where, you know, I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell people how to get started in business. And I was just getting flooded with impressions of how things were going to go for people, of what was coming next and how things needed to be constructed. It was almost like moving through a maze. And also all of this mindset work started coming out. And I was like, this is not what these people signed up for.
No. And so I remember talking to you around that phase, yeah, and you were so overwhelmed because were getting all this information and downloads, and it was like, where do I put it? Because these are a bit overwhelmed. It's like they don't know what to do with it. And
yeah,
different levels, isn't it, of where you are in that stage of the journey.
Yeah. And part of being in that mastermind was so amazing because that was the first time I really got to deep dive into those gifts.
Yeah.
And say, what's here? Like, let's just take it all out and look at it and practice with it and see what's here. And and that totally changed the course of my business and, you know, what I felt like was kind of life purpose.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so true. You know, that you've got to work with that level of where you are most comfortable. And I think that's why I didn't call myself or go near the word energy healer for a long, long time, because I seen it as, there's people who want that energy healing because they want to heal the past and use that to really go backwards. I always have this dual side and dual purpose and kind of that forward motion in what I do. So I'm literally kind of, let's stretch forward whilst healing what comes up that needs to be healed from the past, rather than sitting looking back all the time. Because then you're just healing and you don't know what needs healed. I'm taking a bit of grounding it in, so get really grounded in who you are, but as well with that forward look of, you are this person because you're here to do something incredible. You're not just here to have had these things happen and that was you. That's you for a reason. So let's explore, let's clear and heal what's happened, but then let's see what the reason was. We all develop a lot of skills and a lot of things from them situations that really make us into something that is going to help us fulfill that purpose. And it's understanding what superpowers is, like that trauma or that thing that happened, which, what, you know, was awful, but there's always something that it's given you. It's given you some strength or resilience or something that you can really bring and use for good, you know.
Yes.
I think that's where I'm always kind of pulling the two sides.
Yeah. And I think that's fascinating because I've been playing with this idea a lot lately. And this is what I really love, is just playing with the ideas and like, let's see what works. It's like my own little lab. But something came up where, and you know, and I hear this question a lot when people are talking about manifestation, intention, and even purpose. So this friend, she has 7 kids.
Wow.
And she was like, why are all these things always happening? Like, it's one thing after another, after the other, after the other. And I was like, but you got 7 people in your boat. Something is always happening. Something is always happening. And what's fascinating to me about this experience of being human, and why I think this experience of being human is magic in and of itself, is we have intentions and we are creating an experience. And it's kind of like a sandcastle. Like, if you build a sandcastle, someone who doesn't understand that this organized structure that you've put together would say, that's just a pile of sand, right?
Yeah.
And if you stop forming the sandcastle, it's going to fall apart. And this is the basic principle of entropy. And entropy is always happening. Like, we build something and it falls apart. And I think part of what I had to understand about the gift that I was using is the ability to feel intention, because intention is really sort of the forward motion of consciousness creating something, right?
Yeah.
And so every living being has this sense of order about it, has this sense of intention about it. You know, if you look at sacred geometry, everything is designed to move energy very, very efficiently when something is alive, right? And the things that we create are very similar. Like there is the finger of intention, that thread that we have put on everything that we have intended.
Yeah.
Sometimes even unintentionally, like just constantly sending our thoughts and energy around it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people confuse the, well, did I do it wrong? Like, was I holding a bad intention? Was I, you know, like not having clean energy or clean thoughts around something? And it's like, no, sometimes things are just entropy. like there was no attention there. And when there's not attention somewhere, that thing's just going to fall apart.
Yeah.
The time, you know, you can kind of tease out the difference when you see that something no longer like looks like it should be statistically correct. Right? It's like, I remember this woman, I was probably like 20 years old, and you know, she came in I was working like a temp office, and she came in and she was like, oh yeah, all these bad things are always happening to me. Like I broke my leg and I broke my arm, and then my kid broke his leg. And then this thing, and it was one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And I was like, okay, there's a vibe here.
Yeah.
There's something very specific with this woman that is way beyond, you know, what is statistically relevant that should be happening. And it is sometimes the way we hold our intention, but it's not really like so much that we've got to constantly go back and monitor that, fix it, monitor it, fix it, monitor it, fix it. It's like, no, you just constantly sort of keep moving yourself in the direction of what you would keep your focus there, keep moving in that direction. And just know that, you know, this is a world where entropy happens and it will always be happening, and that's okay. But, you know, it's really about, what are you amplifying? Where do you have your focus? How are you amplifying that? Because if you're amplifying the entropy, then really what you're doing is you are sort of amplifying chaos, and you don't want to do that. You turn the other way.
Well, yeah. And it, I love the way that you put it, because the intention is exactly that. You are focusing on that point, and you are, it's like you put your rod out, like your fishing rod, and you are reeling it in towards you, you know. And then when it gets towards you, you've got to be receptive, you've got to be open, you've got to be willing to receive what you've asked for, because often we aren't, and we don't even see it. Your mind just is so magical, the way that it focuses where your attention flows, and it's like everything else fades away and disappears. And it doesn't matter what you could wish that one day, but if you're looking the other way and focusing the other way, you just can't see it because it's in your peripheral vision. I think that's where people get so confused, because they're like, I'm manifesting. And I'm like, so what have you done? And it's, you know, I've asked and I've wrote a letter, and then it's like, but then I've turned and just carried on with my old mindsets, my old behaviors, my old habits, the old way of being, you know, waiting for this to happen. And it's like, this is here for you. You just need to shift. It's just getting into that mindset of projecting out your thoughts. And it really, we were talking about how the old style of magic, we were actually talking about curses, weren't we, before?
Because I had worked with a woman who specifically does curse work, like releasing curses, and it was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Spells and your words being, you know, totally magical, and people not realizing how much of this is still energetically is just the laws of nature and how things work.
It is really, really interesting, because I think we're used to hearing it in a way that we can't relate to. You know, when we hear it in stories, or we hear people talk about spooky magic, you know, or you hear people talk about it with a vibe that you know you don't like. And I think, you know, when we look back at like the spiritualists of the early 20th century, and, you know, even farther back, like these were people who really were tapped into a darkness that most people would push away. but they were fascinated with that. They were just fascinated with this, like, kind of like a little bit of evil in there, right? they thought that was cool. And so what happens is that energy sort of sticks in there, and then we reject it. So anything that we've encountered that we know we don't want as part of us, you know, it sort of gets, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater. Yeah. But the fact is that these conscious beings have been creating things using their intention and their minds and their energy for as long as people have been around, as long as beings have been around. And they call it all sorts of things, and it can be used for good or evil. Mm-hmm. It just is, you know, it's not about deserving. It's not about even sometimes like a learning or mastery. It's really about figuring out how you harness energy and then doing that. And for a lot of the people I know, it's playfulness. Yeah. That's what's so funny is, you know, people get so self-serious about it. And so like, I'm trying to do this thing. There's so much resistance in that energy that you're not harnessing your energy. You're holding it back. Yeah. So it is really interesting how, you know, when we're talking about the curses, it isn't that this is something, you know, like, woo, you know, no. You can't understand this magic. It's basically just an intention that someone set somewhere and it just kept going. And as this woman who did the energy healing with me, Gail Rebels was her name. She's fantastic. She was explaining that it's tied to an ongoing energy source. Sometimes we are the energy source, like we keep it going.
Was that the energy source? Do you think that was you as a being?
In my case, it was the family line. So the ongoing target was the family line. The energy source itself, I think, was in that case, the being that hadn't crossed over.
Yeah.
So that was more of like someone who was carrying an intention and felt like they had to keep carrying it because it was so important, and just creating a lot of confusion and stress. And, you know, and sometimes it was something a little more specific. Like, I think the other one that she worked on for me, it was a being, like a ancient being that just sort of has lived on Earth. You know, as a lot of people talk about, like in every tradition, they talk about like these spirits that are not humans that are out there. And I had a Tibetan teacher come through one time. I was asking him about, you know, something I felt like was going on in my house. And he was like, hey, there are spirits everywhere. Like everywhere. They're like little bug spirits and little, you know, like animals. He was like, they're everywhere. He was like, but you largely don't have any interaction with them unless you have a karmic connection to them in some way. Mm. You're generally not gonna, you know, like it's kind of like the people passing you on the street, and it's almost like they're not even there unless there's some karmic connection. And so in this case, like when we're talking about ancestral beings, there's a karmic connection through the body. And in this other case, there was, for me, she said, one that was connected through past life, basically like a pact, like you were talking about, like there was an agreement, a commitment that had been made, and the commitment had been made over multiple lifetimes, not understanding that conditions would change so significantly. And this one was particularly about me teaching. There were limitations on me being able to teach what I had learned over lifetimes from a specific teacher. And I had agreed to those commitments to not teach. And so she had me work through this negotiation, you know, looking at the conditions of the time. There are a billion people out on social media deciding they're going to be spiritual teachers, right? And realizing that there really needed to be more of a bridge for people, you know, to understand these ancient deep spiritual principles that have existed for so long, and the disconnect between those and what's available for the taking out of the memes on social media.
And did you have to go back and negotiate this with that teacher?
Yes.
Amazing.
That was the, and you know, it's kind of like you're sitting there like, this is really weird. I'm doing this thing. But when it was, and I think that's what's so funny. Like, I don't get really caught up in past life stuff because I've never felt like it was, it's not critical. It's not critical to know if this thing is true or that thing is true, or, you know, go try to track it down and, you know, try to like make some truth out of it. Because in the end, everything we experience is being processed through our perception, and as the only place it matters. And so if something allowed you to shift and allowed you to see something differently, even if it was completely fabricated, even if you fabricated it in your own imagination and moved through it, if it shifted your perception, then it is useful. And that is what a lot of spirituality is. It is understanding that you are working with your own mind and energy and perception. It's all you'll ever have. And that's its job. It is not the job to go out and convince everyone else. Science is about common experience. It's about us being able to duplicate an experience that I have so that you also have it. And spirituality has never been about that.
It's so unique. And I know with myself, I've healed a lot of things through the Akashic records and through going into past lives. Yeah, it just has to be the way that you feel is right for you and the way that comes naturally to you. And I think that's where people often look to spiritual healers or spiritual teachers. And it's, you know, you've got to find what is calling you in and what feels good for you, because it's not one size fits all. And you've got to understand what your essence, your soul needs, you know, in that, which I think is key.
Yeah, it really is. And this is, I think, probably, you know, one of the few times in history when we have so many people trying to guide their own spiritual path. Historically, that's never really happened. And because there are huge pitfalls in it. But what is important, I don't even know if this is a direct quote from the Buddha, but it's in one of the earliest Buddhist treatises, is that you will test every teaching as if you were testing gold. That you don't just accept what someone tells you and, you know, as if it were gospel. You test it constantly to see if it is true for you. And eventually, if it isn't, you set that teaching aside and you move on to something else. And sometimes even it'll come back 10, 15 years later, suddenly you will, you know, find some truth in it. You'll find a path to truth in it, but it doesn't matter because ultimately you are working with your own mind. You're working with your own perception and it has to work for you. Ancient traditions, the role of a teacher is to help correct your egoic perception. They are there to help you see beyond what your ego is letting you. They're letting you stretch a little bit at a time. And then it's your job to integrate. It's your job to integrate. And then usually you would have this period where you would go back and check with the teacher, like, do I have it right now? Mm-hmm. Is this the correct perception? Is this the correct view? And we say correct from the perspective of, am I picking up what my lineage has offered me, right? And this is another thing that we're sort of missing in this age of everybody just being the self-style gurus out there, is you're missing a sense of lineage, because every teaching that you pick up comes with a sort of essence of the people who taught it and the way they learned it and what they learned. And so most ancient traditions have a long lineage, and the lineage has to be passed from person to person. And that what Tibetans might call whispered teachings, or, you know, the essence of the teachings gets passed. You can't just pass it in words. Hmm. You have to be able to observe and be with someone and then incorporate it and then carry it forward. And, you know, it's basically energy. Yeah. And it's a very specific kind of energy, and learning to harness that and wield it and pull on it at any given time. And then people were typically authorized to teach after someone said, yeah, you got it. Like, now you got it. And so we're in this really odd space where people are very interested in mysticism. They have a tremendous capacity for abstract thought that people have not had previously. Mm-hmm. And so there's this huge desire and need to understand these things. And so few people who have a deep understanding of it, who have, you know, the depth of of learning spirituality, like spiritual practice as a full system. And I think that's, you know, the safety is in having a full and complete system. And then, you know, knowing that you got all the parts covered. The system isn't inherently true, but it gives you a holistic sense.
I'm loving this because this is your need. This is this is your need for that system and that knowledge and having like all them parts playing out as well, isn't it?
But that's what's so fascinating is if we back up and we look at, you know, how human beings learn, we are meaning-making machines and we have to organize, you know, like back again, like there's an organizing principle to life. We have to organize things so that we can sort of get a grasp of them. But spiritual practices always had like a complete holistic system, and the system had, you know, a place for people who, you know, just wanted to be pious and do the right thing. And there was a place for the mystics, and there was a place for, you know, a certain type of learning. And there were prerequisites so that you had a foundational understanding before you moved to something that was more complex.
Yeah.
And so that you didn't have gaps in knowledge that led to a complete collapse as you moved up into other understandings. And there were safeguards in place so that people would not get caught up in their own egos, which is the biggest trap for people who really, especially if they gain power, the biggest trap is like this trap of masterhood that can just take someone out, because suddenly they are in an echo chamber of people around them that are telling them that everything they are doing is right. And they become absolutely delusional because they can't see anymore. And so I think that's, you know, really what's lacking right now. And it's not that we can necessarily just solve that problem. It's like, we have to sort of build a bridge between that understanding and what's available to us right now. And to see that there is more to it, that, you know, if you really and truly are on a path of mysticism, that it is a deep and long journey that really requires more feedback and more help. You know, it's like we have to run everything through our understanding. We have to validate it. We have to be able to truly like grab a hold of it and use it. And then we also need someone usually to say, a little bit to the left. Like,
yeah,
there, but, you know, open it up a little more. Here it is, right?
I think that's why it's so important to have them people around you who have that different viewpoint. And, you know, it's that level of, I do a lot of self-healing, but I also go to energy healers. And, you know, there's bits that you're only working from your own perspective, your own ego. There's only so much you can explore or see. Even if you surrender fully, you know, there's still little bits that other people can bring you that extra. And then it's how you pull that together. And I think it's opened my eyes, even with, you know, launching the initiation chamber, any other program I've launched, I felt very connected to it. I felt a lot of responsibility. I felt like it was and this comes from my own personal belief that I had for years that had been reinforced around, I kind of had to be the one to fix people or help people, or, you know, there was a real strong need to help people. And when I was building courses, I felt a bit of a fraud, not in the sense of I was frauding anybody or anything like that, but my imposter syndrome would kick in because I was like, I'm offering this transformation. How can I genuinely, hand on heart, 100% say that is what they get? I know that's what they can have. Yeah. But if somebody's not willing to match that and put the work in, they're not going to get that transformation. And there was always that bit of me that was like, how do I guarantee they get it? And I was just pulling that responsibility in.
Yeah.
And that's your ego, isn't it? It's me, you know, that has to help people. And even though it was coming from such a good place, I've done some work recently to see that actually that was affecting everything. It was affecting me holding back from launching things because I was so in my head trying to figure out how to get that message across, how to get that across to people. And actually with this initiation chamber, I just literally got the name, got the download to do the video, got the download about the content and the way it's going. but it's not my content. It isn't my program. It's literally like I've opened up to be the channel and I am opening the space. I'm only kind of the doorway guide. Like the rest is going to be their soul, their energy, all their healing in the way that they need it. I'm on this journey with them. It's literally how I feel about it. And it's like, I'm just here offering this and that is it. There's the stuff that's coming through.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's my responsibility. I don't feel like it's my, you know, I have to say that they're going to get this by then. I've been open. I've said it is getting channeled. It is totally energetic. It's kind of like I can't even put it into words for you how incredible it's going to be. But yeah, it's just totally different. Releasing your ego, releasing them beliefs. You know, you're trying to do it for the best, but actually it's just holding you and everyone else back from getting what they really need.
Yeah. I love the name, by the way. Love the name. But I think that's, it's so interesting that this is like the time we're in where we can do that, yeah. You know, like we can say, okay, I'm just going to pull it from the other side. We don't even know. Like we're going to pull it down.
I am not running this show at all.
Yeah, I know. It's so fascinating.
So good.
It does. It really is amazing that mostly you pull the energy and you pull the intention, right? Mm-hmm. I'm intending sort of this for you. And you pull the energy and the intention and you hold the container. And that's what you've done. And then the people come into it and they receive. And they receive what they need, right? Yeah. And it's not this, you know, trying to force and manipulate them into a tight binding system of you're going to take these steps and these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a totally different kind of work. And interestingly, even the great masters do something very similar where, you know, there are times when there would be a very, very specific direct teaching, but a lot of the rest of the time there is a space, they create a space, they pull down unbelievable amounts of energy.
Yeah.
And it is offered to you and you take it in and exactly what you need to work with will come up. What you need to work with will come up again and again and again, because it's almost like the bindings and the blocks and things that are so rigid that don't allow us to sort of expand and truly access large amounts of energy.
Yeah.
They're painful. They are painful when they're activated. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of times people experience, you know, spiritual growth as painful. It's not that the growth is so much painful. It's the things that hold you back from growth that start to pinch.
Yeah. It's like that restriction, isn't it? Totally get that.
And that's what the ego does.
It is. I am conscious of time, Carrie, because I have kept you for so long.
And it's late for you, so.
It is, but that doesn't matter. You know, I'm
but I can talk to you forever.
I know. But we are really going to have you back on, because we could literally talk on so many topics that you know about as well. So I will put all the links to everything you have got going on and, you know, let people find you on all the social media. But I just want to say thank you so much for finally coming on my show.
Thank you for having me and reminding me. This is super fun. I always love talking to you. So
you are welcome anytime. We are definitely going to have another conversation. And potentially ask the listeners, you know, what would they like to hear us talk about? Because you just have so much knowledge on so many different facets of spirituality and business as well. So, you know, there's loads. We've just scratched the surface tonight.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been super fun. And I would love that. I think there's something different that happens when we ask questions. It really releases something. And so that's why I love these conversations. It just brings up totally new stuff. Thank you.
Just so wonderful to talk to though. So thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Rachel Chamley and you've been listening to the Manifesting Straight Talk podcast. If you're not already following me on social media, make sure you come and find me on Instagram. I'm @RachelChamley or come and join the Manifesting Straight Talk Facebook group. All my details are in the show notes, so you can catch me there. But I hope you've been left feeling inspired after this podcast. It was so much fun. Join me next time for another episode of Manifesting Straight Talk.